Chinese government is selling treasuries and buying gold, it supports that treasury market. Now, if it doesn't work, what are they going to do? We had some pretty, Michael Saylor at Strategy this week had some really interesting comments about the US government, and he suggested that if everybody was buying gold, and that was that if the US government wanted to topple that plan, that they should sell their gold, collapse the gold market, and go into crypto instead, which I thought was crazy. But you know, never say never in this world. I think for now that the stable coins are where they're going to go, and the fact that the Trump family are investing in stable coins and their own dollar-backed stable coin also, I think for people outside of America, makes it a little bit less political. Buying US treasuries is one thing. But you know, when any company can print their own dollar-backed, you know, stable coins, they have a less of that perception of being attached to the US government. Doesn't mean, of course, that they're any more trustworthy, but I think that that's what they're hoping for.
Nicola Duke, the Duke of Crypto, from the Macro Report. How are you, Nicola?
Hi, Steve. Really good, thank you.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about, but I'm kind of curious as to how you've reacted over this weekend and what you've been seeing, and love your thoughts on the whole crypto market at this point in time.
Yeah, we've seen this was a pretty nasty weekend. You know, we had a solar eclipse on Sunday, and it's so funny because an eclipse marked the nasty, really nasty FTX sell-off bottom. So I don't want to get all woo-woo on you, but it was yeah, it was a pretty nasty weekend. We saw most altcoins, you know, down at least 10% on Sunday night before the market opened for Asian trading, and stock index futures were just fine. Yeah, like nothing, no big deal, nothing big going on, which is really frustrating when you see divergence like that. And it's usually kind of just a big seller, you know, and market kind of shaking itself out. And it was a pretty nice opportunity for a few markets, but we haven't quite bottomed in everything. This may be a little bit of a shakeout week, but I still see it as a buy the dip opportunity going into October, November.
What would you say is the main cause and driver for this, and what reason do you have in terms of optimism for crypto in general?
I think seasonality, and I think that the market really doesn't have many other places to go, and it's very hard, you know, if it's, I see the stock indexes and the kind of risk, broader risk, is like a balloon that holds the crypto market up or stops it completely collapsing, if you like. And just because this is the year following a Bitcoin halving, that's usually when we get an alt season. We usually get the best months of the year, October, November, and a pretty good boom into year end. Now, it would be unusual if we didn't get that, but we've got quite a lot of big of the bigger altcoins that have utility. Becoming ETFs, and we see a lot of companies becoming treasury companies. I think Anthony Scaramucci announced yesterday that he's going to be a treasury company for Avalanche, and these companies are kind of holding the market up, and that seems to be where the money or the inflow is going at the moment, which is pretty positive, you know, bigger picture. And I'm finding it quite interesting that, you know, the Trump initially talked about a Bitcoin treasury and how they were going to have a Bitcoin treasury. And it's really clear that they want to boost the crypto market, and particularly stable coins, because they support treasuries. You know, if you buy a, they're not audited, obviously. We assume that they're backed one to one, but it was quite interesting to me that he's kind of pivoted from buying Bitcoin with taxpayer dollars to now their company money is investing in these treasuries and altcoin market themselves, the Trump Fund and the world, you know, WLFI. So I kind of wonder how the future goes with that. It's quite interesting.
So you believe that he's going to be moving away from Bitcoin, tethering to that, and investing more into Altcoins, is that what you said?
I think that they want the Stablecoin Act, the Genius Act,
Yeah.
and this legislation changes for stablecoins is really pointing that way, because every time you have to back it with a US asset, and so they are going to be, if we get a big boom in the crypto market, they will be a huge part
Right.
of the treasury buyers. And while the rest of the world, because of world events, is turning away, and the BRICS, what's going on with BRICS, is moving away from the dollar, and the Chinese government is selling treasuries and buying gold, it supports that treasury market. Now, if it doesn't work, what are they going to do? We had some pretty, Michael Saylor at Strategy this week had some really interesting comments about the US government. And he suggested that if everybody was buying gold, and that was that if the US government wanted to topple that plan, that they should sell their gold, collapse the gold market, and go into crypto instead, which I thought was crazy. But never say never in this world. I think for now that the stable coins are where they're going to go. And the fact that the Trump family are investing in stable coins and their own dollar-backed stable coin, also, I think for people outside of America, makes it a little bit less political. Buying US treasuries is one thing. But when any company can print their own dollar-backed, stable coins, they have a less of that perception of being attached to the US government. Doesn't mean, of course, that they're any more trustworthy, but I
Yeah.
think that that's what they're hoping for.
So for clarification, Nicola, if you can clarify, when you say stable coins, are you referring to Bitcoins? Are you Ethereum? Are you
No,
referring
I'm
to
talking about dollar tether or
US
circle
dollar
coin,
coin?
your
Yeah.
US dollar foot, and all of those stable coins. Now, any company can make their own dollar stable coin, and the Trump family have made their own with their financial system. So pretty much anyone can, and because they're not audited, because you can't. There's no clear way to know whether they have $1 for everyone. It's at least with Fort Knox, we know whether they're allegedly audited, and we know think that they have the gold that they say they have. But I think that's much harder for these stable coins. It's going to be interesting to see how they get around that. But because they're less directly connected to the US government, I think they might be more attractive for other investments. So much so that the Bank of England this week proposed putting a $10,000 limit on the number of dollar stable coins that UK citizens can hold, because they said that there was systemic risk if we all held more than 10,000 each. So I thought that
Yeah,
was quite
so
interesting.
I guess I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around how, let's say, people are moving away from the dollar going towards BRICS, or if people are skeptical of the dollar, what benefit is there in having, my understanding of Tether and the US coin is that it's connected to the dollar in a 101. Is that not correct?
Right, it is, right? So you
So
could
why would
say,
they
if
be,
you're
why would these,
bearish the dollar, or if you think the dollar is going to be continually devalued, why would you want a dollar stable coin? Well, if you live in the UK, they're devaluing the pound as just as fast as you're devaluing the dollar. And I don't think necessarily that the dollar is going to go down in a straight line. In fact, when I look at the dollar chart, I am thinking that we could find a bottom soon and could see an upswing, and that would kind of line up with another perhaps jump higher in inflation. We don't know, we've got another month till we see what the Supreme Court does about tariffs. And short term, not long term, but short term, tariffs can have an inflationary effect and give us a little spike again if that comes into effect. So I think long term they're deflationary, but short term we could see what that moves. So that would boost the dollar.
Speaking of the Fed rate cuts, I'd love to hear your thoughts on just kind of where you think the Fed's going and how this is going to be affecting the Bitcoin and crypto market.
Okay, I thought it was really interesting how final, the most important thing that 25 basis point cut was so priced in. I think we would only have got a bullish boost for it had it been 50 basis points. And quite a few people were expecting 50 basis points. The key thing what was forward, what they said going forward, and nine members said another rate cut before the year end, and six members said no more. So it's really kind of, it's not clear that we're on a rate cutting path and we're going to see more rate cuts. So what was quite interesting to me is what we saw in yields, and most people look at the 10-year yield and we did nothing. We went sideways. It didn't, normally if we had started a bigger rate cutting cycle, we would see yields cut to fall, start to fall. I know the Fed only set the overnight rates, but the market kind of repriced all rates going out from there, based on what the Fed does with their in overnight rates. That's what they control. And the market said, yeah, no more, thanks. Okay, we're just going to sit here. And so this is why I think rates, yields could go higher, and that will lift the dollar potentially soon
So
towards year end.
do you have like a chart for the dollar? I mean, in terms of.
Yeah, so if we look at the dollar index, so the I do, and I let's swap screens if you like, share screen.
Are you sharing it?
I don't know which button. Wait, here we go. I don't know how to do it.
The green button share in the middle.
Oh, share, there we go. Thank you.
I can cut that part
Got
out,
it. Here
so.
we go. Thank you. Okay, so this is the dollar index, and if we go back to the,
Nicole, I don't see anything at this moment.
okay, sorry. There we
You're good.
go.
All right, here we go. I see it.
So if we go back to the lows, this is the lows here for the of the 2008 credit crunch here back in 2008, and since then we have been in a really nice high, trending higher channel since we made a bottom in May 2008. In Elliott Wave, they say that when you're in a trend, you stay within a parallel channel. And since that 2008 low, we've stayed very nicely within this parallel channel. And here we are, kind of sitting around at the bottom of it. This is a third touch. And this is one of those places where sometimes you might see a little false breakdown, and that's actually even more bullish. And then I expect the dollar to continue higher. This is a monthly chart of the dollar index. So we're in that kind of area where I think, yes, the dollar could find a bottom soon and should at least attempt a bounce and potentially keeps going. And that's not because everything, it's just stuff in the United States is better than anywhere else. So certainly better than Europe. And quite a lot of this dollar index is based on European currencies. So, I would not be surprised at all, especially if the tariffs, if Trump gets permission for these tariffs, that we don't see a bit of a jump in the dollar because of that. And that could cause a little bit of a pullback in commodities priced in dollars. And I think that'll be a buying opportunity.
Yeah, tell me about that. How, in terms of commodities, is there one or two things in particular you're most excited about? Where are we going to find the best value at this point?
At this point, I think at some point, I think at this point there is a few charts that are just going into kind of parabolic, and one of them is uranium. No doubt about it. Uranium, this chart, ever since we made a bottom in March, we have just gone in a straight line, and dips get rewarded. And I have a target up here of 6.38. And so I think uranium has more to go. Platinum, palladium, the same. I would say one of them, copper, is in a little bit of, has reached a kind of bigger target for me. This is a monthly chart of copper. I think we'll get a modest bounce and a dip, and any dips in copper back to this $4 price is a really good place to jump back in for another swing high, previous wave four. So, we could go lower, but a bigger bounce, I think, potentially there, yes, in copper.
So
I think
anywhere
that's
around the
kind of a
$4
longer
mark.
term play, but initially, right now, the hot metals are still silver. I think people are starting to rotate out of gold into silver, and into these platinum, palladium, and uranium are where it's at. But eventually, it's going to be about copper, I think. Yes, definitely.
How much are you looking into the gold? How relevant is the gold-silver ratio at this point in terms of how you're investing in the gold and in the silver market in particular? And then if you
Oh,
can.
in the silver market, I don't see any reason why silver does not continue to 48. So if again, based on the same measured move principles, if we go back to the monthly chart here, obviously we've got this huge big double top high at 48 from 1980, the last big commodity cycle in 2011. And if we measure this first swing, the target for this is 47, 48. And silver's quite spiky. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we overshoot this, but this market is determined to get there. We're still at only 44.2. We're in that final stages, so it's quite tricky buying here unless you're nimble getting in and out. But if you have some, I would hold on for that. And then I think at that play, at this point, 48, around 47, 48, we will get a wave four similar to this wave two correction that we saw in 21, 22. And that will be a buying opportunity because I see silver taking out those 2008 and 2011 highs for another big swing higher. And yeah. 60 or 67 next. So, but for now, for this swing, we haven't stopped. We are going to keep going to that 48 number.
So, love to hear
Definitely.
your thoughts more about
And
copper
I,
and go ahead.
yeah, so copper, we need to wait for this dip. Silver, if you're not already in, watch for a bigger correction when we get to this 48 level and be ready to buy the dip. One of the charts I've been watching following is Bitcoin gold. I think one of the if Michael Saylor's right, then if you are a gold investor, and in the previous commodity cycles we've seen gold go first, and at some point I think central banks are going to stop buying, not quite yet. When they've finished selling their US treasuries, they're going to stop buying gold. And I think we can see the kind of investors spread out into other commodities. That's what we've seen in previous cycles. And I think that there's quite a possibility that we could see them spread into Bitcoin as well. Now, the US government has always been kind of like, we're going to buy Bitcoin. And if they do that and they directly now at this point go into the market, with their taxpayer dollars, that's not going to be popular. But I would not be surprised at all to see them take positions. And they've done this in other key markets. They've done it in Intel. I would not be surprised to see them take positions or buy a percent, excuse me, buy a percentage of MicroStrategy or Strategy as they're called now, or one of the other treasury companies, and maybe even the Trump, treasury company. These companies that are setting up as Bitcoin treasuries, they could buy chunks of those companies without so directly interfering in the market and pushing the price higher for taxpayers. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that at all when gold starts to top out. At the moment, we've still got more outside. Let's find gold back here.
Much upside are we talking about?
Well, it's slowing down, so it's underperforming silver. For me, it's pretty clear. If we hold, we're in a wave five. Let's fill it all in. So I'm measuring from the swing that began in 2022, this final swing that we're in. And I think that we are headed to 4,500 in spot gold from here. This swing at a minimum, 4,000, possibly 4,500. And this swing is likely to top out around 5,200. But short term, for me, that really needs to hold kind of above this level that we've just trying to push above. Each time you move above a target level, it then needs to become support. So when I see that here, I kind of want to see us continue to hold above that 3,700, and we are still in this uptrend. It's getting really stretched, so new positions are not recommended at this point. But if you're holding on, no reason to sell whatsoever at this point.
So when you say holding on, you're talking that line of the
If
3,000.
you have a load of gold, if you haven't, I think that again, miners, and I would still be buying the cheap miners, uranium miners, gold miners, copper miners. I would be loading up on them. A little bit less volatile, bit more stable. Yeah, that's what I would be watching out for. And we've seen, I think there was a silver miner listed last month, and it did 10% the first month that it was listed. The money's sitting there and ready. And I do think AI is a little bit bubblicious. I would rather at this point be invested in commodity miners than AI.
So, speaking of commodity miners and AI, I mean, the AI market is driving commodities. If you can talk a bit about that.
Absolutely. So AI is basically an energy box. So they're all run by data centers. I think the chip market is pretty much over. Too much money has gone in already. It's easy to say it's a bubble. Lots of really good things come out of bubbles. The internet came out of a bubble. We called it the dot-com boom, but really good things came out of it. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't a bubble. And we could easily see the same thing with AI. We see a really nasty shakeout. Everybody gets wiped, and then the value continues and goes up again. And that, at the moment, we're getting really close to where we might see one of those shakeouts. But what we haven't got is the infrastructure to support this AI. So these data centers, as I said, need huge amounts of energy. The energy infrastructure in the United States and so many countries to support these data centers, if they really are going to be that everything going forward, has to be rebuilt. And that takes stuff like copper and metals and rare earths. And that's where, and I think certainly in the UK, I think they're going to try and do it with these small mobile nuclear plants. British Aerospace are building them. I wish they build them quicker. We need to build them everywhere. I can't remember when the United States last approved a nuclear power plant, but in April alone, China approved 10. And they don't have any shortage of energy because they want to compete in AI, and we need to do the same. So copper to connect everything is definitely a must, and AI needs energy and as well. And so I'm bullish natural gas, electricity, infrastructure, all of those, if it's really gonna take off.
I mean, Elon Musk has what, the humanoid stuff, the AI. How much copper are we talking about that he's needing? I mean, he's projecting a lot of copper, isn't he?
He says we're going to need 1 to 2 million. He's projecting 1 to 2 million robots. 2 million, a million robots take 1 year of copper supply, the entire copper supply to build. That's what they're going to take to build. 2 years, 2 million robots is 2 years of copper supply. That means no copper for anything else, and we need it for all of these other things. So this is why I'm pretty bullish pullbacks in copper. Do I think we should pile in and buy copper right here now? No, I think we could see a bigger pullback. If we zoom out on this monthly chart, we can see all the way back to the credit crunch, these pullbacks into the monthly 200 moving average, which we may see, a bigger pullback here. I think they're a huge buying opportunity. What makes me really nervous, which could upset everything, is it seems like everyone is intent on war with Iran, and that's gonna, take 6 months to sort out before, and it could give us the shakeout, which, if you buy too much too soon, could be pretty painful. But if we are waiting, will give us opportunities. So I hope I'm
I mean, everyone
wrong.
wants to get the bottom, buy copper at the bottom. Is do you have like a number that's what
Yeah,
you would
no,
say is just low
you can't
enough?
always do that. But if you watch a big dip and then you watch it start to turn up again, every time you've done that, listen, there's a simple on any chart you look at, there's a really simple tool called a Heiken Ashi candle. It's a moving average on a candle and it goes from red to green. So whatever, if let's put on a weekly chart here. When you're in anything in an uptrend and you get a nasty pullback, if you simply buy it when the red stops going red and you get your first green, it usually is a sign of especially on a weekly chart, is a sign of a bottom. So that candle there, it's called a Heiken Ashi. It's a moving average candle. It's for simple investors. If you just use that on a daily chart, it's a really, really good way. To get an indicator that stuff has actually bottomed out and is starting to go up again. And no, buying the bottom is very difficult, but if you think something has merit and you buy pullbacks in it when it starts to go up, eventually you're going to catch the one that doesn't ever go back again. That's kind of how I look at it. So
You
that's a
mentioned
good strategy.
copper. I mean, we throw around the word super cycle. We talk about the metals, and you also mentioned about
Let's go back
these
to get,
mining companies. Like, are there any particular mining co if you can talk about the super cycle and where you see that going, and if you can talk about are there any gold, silver, copper, palladium? I mean, rare earth companies that you're excited about that we should maybe
I
look.
haven't. I need to do some more study on that. Like myself, like I usually like to look at the big ones, like Freeport McMoRan. What I'm seeing, I think politics is going to come a lot into this, where is BRICS and where is not, and disruptions, supply chain disruptions because of that are going to have a good effect on prices. So I think you need to be quite careful which countries you buy in. At the moment, Argentina's in crisis. And I think if we see more of that, then these supply disruptions will boost prices, which will help. So you kind of need to be careful which kind of part of the world you're investing in and where they mine from. And it is quite hard. Like, I would love to buy every Chinese company that goes out and mine stuff, but it's very hard to do. But they're global prices, so you can buy other countries. Stocks, mining stocks that do that. Yeah. So the only thing I would say is watch what the US government does. If the US, like if they, here's the thing that if they actually do sell gold and buy something else like Bitcoin, which would be crazy, I know they're not going to give us too much warning. If you get the warning, don't run, run, don't walk. That's what I say. And that's why I think it's actually, the US government has a huge pile of gold. But as this cycle expands, I think it's quite good to start diversifying into other metals that they can't sell rather than gold, which they might. Because if they revalue, they also wipe out a lot of their debt if they just revalue the value of their gold holdings, which I wouldn't be surprised either. So.
Speaking of buying gold and selling gold, I mean, where do you BRICS is trying to, I don't know if they're trying to tether it one-to-one, but they're trying to connect BRICS currency to gold in some way. And they're buying and piling as much gold as they can. If the US is selling, and how does that affect the gold market and the US
I
dollar?
think initially, so if we look at what if we look at If we look at central bank gold band, so this is foreign country central banks. The black lines are this. The IMF is the gold, and the black lines are central banks of foreign countries. We see this absolutely take off since 2022. 2022 is when Russia invaded Ukraine, and the government's locked down all of the Russian investments in treasuries. And since then, everybody went, oh, we don't want to hold treasuries connected to these countries if they can steal them, particularly China. And so this is the gold buying from these foreign countries. Now, if we were to get a peace agreement and they were to get them back, maybe this would ease off. I don't think it's going to ease off until they finish selling their treasuries. And that's going to cause a problem for the US government. What are they going to do? Are they going to get their crypto boom and just that will cover this, you know, that gold? I think if it gets big enough, it could. But the problem with this is the US government, you know, if this is economic war, and Michael Saylor, this is what Michael, if Michael Saylor's saying outright, you know, who else is talking about this? What if they were? If they said, right, we're going to devalue all your gold, they could do that. And so this is why I think, you know, having everything in one thing or too much of it is not a safe strategy. So,
Currency wars.
currency wars,
Yeah, man, it's
and tariff
crazy.
wars, and every other World War One, World War Two, they all started with economic wars.
Right.
So
You gotta follow the money.
let's hope it doesn't happen again. Or, you know, as some say it already has, but, you know, that's where we are. So I don't see this changing until they're done with the US treasuries. And I don't see the kind of rhetoric between the US and China winding down. Now, in my head, I cannot believe that we in the West would go to war over Taiwan, an island that's so close right next door to China. I don't think anybody in Taiwan wants it, and I don't think anybody in China wants it. So I think if we could come to kind of some kind of detente with China or peace with China, that would be time to move out of gold into something else, because that would ease the pressure on them buying it. And I'm absolutely sure that that would involve a deal that protects US treasuries or stops them selling it. So,
Is the biggest concern there from the US perspective in Taiwan, the semiconductors? Is it protecting that part in terms of making sure China doesn't get a control of it? What's the, I mean,
I
I'm
think
sure
the
that's a
US,
lot.
you know, if you listen to what Trump says, he seems to really want them to be making those semiconductors in America again, not Taiwan. And I think that he's going to put huge pressure on those companies to teach Americans and make them here again. You know, originally the United States did make those chips. So I don't know that that's just it. That's his sphere of influence, you know, the Pacific. That's what he wants to be, his sphere of influence. So
Do
I
you
don't
see,
understand it myself.
like, how much do you see the tension in Iran affecting crypto and just the enthusiasm or cautiousness that people are dealing with?
I think, okay, I'm very nervous about what's happening in Iran, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if something starts to kick off. Previously, we have seen those countries and countries in that region use crypto. That we saw it certainly with Russia when Russia invaded Ukraine, and we saw it previously in Iran. And so I don't see it affecting crypto that badly. I think it will definitely have an effect on energy prices and oil prices, and that is more of a problem for a lot of countries, particularly Europe. So, where our energy policy is appalling, but and you're much
Lots
better off in the
going
United States, you know.
So, for those who are trying to enter into the crypto market now, do you have any words of advice on just what to buy, timing? What are you cautious about, or what to look out for?
Oh, I think that the next couple of months should be the best of this year. And the best is yet to come, and that we should see a year-end rally in a lot of markets. And I'm not sure that Bitcoin is the best one to buy. I think that the bigger altcoins that have been around a while, we've seen, new ETFs in Ripple and Solana and so on. I think Avalanche is next. I think that there are also some stuff that I'm really excited about, and one of them is like Hyperliquid. I've talked about BNB and these exchanges. There are a bunch of exchanges that are not centralized exchanges like Coinbase, where you have to do KYC registration. And all of these exchanges where they do this, certainly from the end of this year in the United Kingdom, and that will be true in the United States, Canada, everywhere else. They feed in directly to the tax authorities, so they get your real-time transaction, trading transactions. They know what money you're making, and I think that's going to make some of these decentralized exchanges like Hyperliquid and no KYC exchanges more popular. So I'm pretty bullish then. But the other, I think, in any So there's a crypto cycle, just like there's a commodity cycle. And so we tend to see Bitcoin make a big move and top out, and then the bigger altcoins follow one by one, the kind of goodwill's profits spread out, if you like. So we've seen ETH make its move. I think that we will see bigger altcoins move out. And I definitely think that we have the best to come for the buying the dip into year end in those bigger altcoins is the way to go.
So in terms of
So,
upside, you're looking at altcoins like Avalanche.
Avalanche, Near is another one that's made a really nice bullish pattern. This is another utility coin. Let's put this one up like this. Whenever I look at a chart like this and I see it make a lovely big three-wave correction and then a nice bottom like this, or we stop going down like here, we had a nice double bottom at this bottom. When I see a bottom like this forming, it to me it says we want to, if we break out of these sideways ranges, we're going up again to the top of this, and this three-wave correction is complete. So wouldn't be surprised to see this one go next as well. Yeah, this is exactly what I like to see in a chart, in a big correction, and on our way up again. So that's probably my favorite this week. These two, those Near and
Near
Avalanche,
Avalanche.
are my two favorites this week. Yeah, for sure.
Well, Nicole, if you can tell our followers where to find you, how they can follow you and learn more
I'm on
about.
Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Nick Trades, NicTrades. And I'm every day at the Macro Report with daily updates, and you can find me either of those places.
Nicola, the Duke of Crypto, it's a pleasure having you. Thanks for being on our show, and thanks for teaching me so much already.
Have I really? Thank you.